Luke chapter 21, and the other passage we're going to go to is 2 Corinthians chapter 9. I'm going to reference a lot of verses, so if you take notes, you can just jot them down. I don't want you to turn to all of them because you won't be able to keep up. We did get some new pew Bibles. They're on the shelf there. One apology that we have to offer is this. The font is actually smaller. They didn't make the other one anymore. And so we got the new Bibles, and I opened it up, and I was like, what? So if you're on the older end, like I am, I guess, and you have a hard time with it, you might want to pack a magnifying glass or bring some readers with you if you're planning on using the pew Bible. So that being said, many of you know the teenagers are back from York, England. So we're really happy. We've been hearing nothing but great things. My two sons had an amazing time. They're sharing all the things that happened. But you will also get to hear that too on August 4th. They're taking over the whole service and they're going to share their experiences and everything. So we're happy about that. So that's going to happen on August 4th. So don't miss that. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to get right into the message this morning. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for this day. I'm thankful, Lord, that we could come here, and we could lift your name in praises, and we could hear your word. So I pray now, Lord, that as we study today, that you would just inspire us and help us to grow closer to you and be a light that sends out good vibes to this community. So we're thankful again for everything you've done for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we're in our summer series. It's called Good Vibes, and the purpose of this series is to learn the practices and the habits of people that give out good vibes. So basically, the tagline of our series is this: we can show people the sun, we can show people Jesus by giving out good vibes. So in week one, we learned how to curb our complaining. How's that been working for you? Everybody been curbing your complaining, right? It was tough this week, right? When it's like 100 degrees, you're like, ah. Second week, we learned how to be encouragers, to say encouraging things. And now this week, what we're going to do is we're going to learn that people that give out good vibes are generous people. So no one wants to be around a greedy person, right? In fact, Psychology Today categorizes greed as an addiction. Greed as an addiction. The addiction is fed by the pursuit of more and holding on to what we have. So greedy people can get actually more greedy. They continue to pull things in towards themselves, hold on to things with tight hands, and not want to let go. So Psychology Today is categorizing this as an addiction. We combat this addiction with generosity. We combat this type of addiction with generosity. The scriptures teach that we have three resources that we as believers are called to be generous with. They are our time, our talent, and our treasure. I'll briefly go over those for you. We all have the same amount of time. Would you agree with that? Yeah, we all have 24 hours in a day. I don't care who you are. You have 24 hours in a day. And we all look at that time as what? My time, right? My time. I own this time. I do what I want with my time. And that's how we look at time. But the call of the believer is to use that time the way that God desires us to use it. Listen to Ephesians 5, 15 through 17. It says this: look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. So in this passage, it's telling us to make the best use of the time, and the best way to use our time is to use it the way the Lord wills us to use it. Part of the use of our time is to actually be generous with it. Use it to benefit the kingdom of God. Use it to help other people. The second is we all have certain talents or gifts. Things that we do well. Now, we have all of us have things that we do well, and then all of us have spiritual gifts that were given at the time of our salvation when the Holy Spirit came and made residence in our lives. He also gave us spiritual gifts. Those are to use to edify the body of Christ. But I'm talking a little bit more about the talents, the things that you do well, things that you've been kind of blessed with that you do well. 1 Peter 4:10 says this: as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. See, the call of the believer is to be generous with those talents and gifts. Use those things to serve God. So if God has given you a talent or a gift, you should use it to serve God and be generous with it. And finally, what we normally think about when we think about generosity, that is our treasure, our money, our resources. We're instructed in the scriptures to give to the work of the Lord and to help others that are in need. 2 Corinthians 9:7 says this, "Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver." Unfortunately, here's what happens. Our natural tendencies are to hold back in these three areas and not be generous. Not be generous. Maybe it's because we're greedy. Maybe it's because we're afraid we will not have enough for ourselves. Maybe it's because we're lazy, or it simply might be this. We didn't realize we're supposed to be generous. And generosity is something that God desires for us. And maybe you just didn't realize it. You're like, oh, you know what? I didn't realize that this is the way I was supposed to live. So regardless of our reason, when we're not generous, here's what happens. We give out bad vibes. But when we are generous, we give out good vibes, which gives us plenty of opportunities to show people Jesus. Because that's what we're here for, right? We want to show people Jesus. So when we're generous, we get opportunities to do that. So what we're going to deal with this morning is this. How do we become generous? How do we become generous people? Some of you just, you are generous. You're that type of person. And others of you have a hard time with generosity. So how do you become generous? So in order to be generous, I believe there's five things we need to remember. And the first is this. I have something to give. That's you. You have to say that to yourself. I have something to give. I actually have something to give. And you might say this. I can't give because I don't have. I can't give because I don't have. That is either a lie that you are believing or what you think is a valid excuse. You may say something like this about time. I don't have the time. I just don't have the time. So here's what I would ask you to do. Ask yourself, how much time do you spend watching TV? How much time do you spend surfing the web? How much time do you spend scrolling on social media? How much time do you spend doing things that you kind of know deep down, like, this really isn't worth spending my time on, but I'm using my time this way. So if you're telling yourself, I don't have the time, and you spend a lot of time in activities and things that are not fruitful, not helpful, not actually engaging. Whoa, what happened here? Did I get louder? if you're spending your time doing those types of things, then you have to say, like, well, maybe I do have the time. I'm just not choosing to use my time to be generous with. The second is this. Some might say, I don't have the talents. You might think, you know what? I'm not really good at anything. I don't have much to offer. Well, let me just tell you. Every person has talents, gifts, and abilities to offer. You might look around, like, say, in the church context and say, you know, what I'm good at, there's really nothing for me to do in the church. Here's what I would suggest, and I love when things like this happen. Be creative, okay? Think outside the box. You never know what ministry is out there that maybe God is saying, you need to start doing this. With your creativity, with your talent, maybe you could start this because you see that there's people that can be reached out to that maybe enjoy that activity or maybe can be blessed by that talent or ability that you have. And many would say this, and I think a lot of people kind of fall into this trap when it comes to the treasure. I don't have the treasure. I don't have the money, okay? And people will say that. You might think in order to give, it needs to be a significant amount. You might just say, you know what? I don't have the money. I don't make that much money. I don't have the money. A great example of a person that could have said this was the poor widow in Luke chapter 21. So I want you to look at the poor widow in Luke chapter 21. And there was an offering being taken. And in Luke chapter 21, Jesus sees this widow. And here's what he says. It says, Jesus looked up and saw the rich putting their gifts into the offering box. And he saw a poor widow put in two small copper coins. And he said, truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all of them. For they all contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, put in all that she had to live on. So here's what's happening. this widow. Now, in that culture, in that day, they were instructed to take care of the widows, right? So the widows were normally the recipients of stuff. Okay, she could have easily came to worship that day and just thought like, hey, I'm a poor widow. Like, I should be blessed by everyone else. I should be the recipient of these gifts. But this widow had a different mindset. This widow had a different heart, and she had 2 copper coins, and she said, you know what? I'm giving it all. I'm giving it everything. And Jesus pointed her out and said, you know what? Everybody else gave out of their abundance, and they gave a portion of their abundance. And he's not criticizing that, but he's saying, but this one, she really gave all that she had, which in God's economy is more than a percentage of the abundance. You get what Jesus is teaching us here? So she could have easily said, I don't have. But the widow knew, I do have, and I'm giving it all. I do have, and I'm giving it all. So now we got to kind of get into like the widow's mindset. And we got to think like, how in the world did she come to this conclusion? How did she come to this conclusion? She came to worship that day. How did she come to this conclusion? And this really brings us to our next point. And she remembers this. My trust is in God, okay? That's what the widow was thinking when she gave. She said, you know what? God is going to take care of me. My trust is in him. God will provide when I put him and his will first. Now, this isn't just a finance thing or a time, talent, treasure thing. This is an everything, isn't it, when it comes to God? This is an everything. When I put him first and his will first, he is going to provide. So no matter what you're going through right now, maybe it is a financial issue. Maybe it's a grieving issue. Maybe it's a sin issue. Maybe it's an issue that is taking over your life. Well, this is where you have to stop and put the brakes on and say, you know what? I have to put God and his will first in my life, and he's going to provide for me. I have to put God and his will first for my life, and he's going to provide. You know what? Many times being generous is squelched because we're afraid. We're afraid. If I give, or if I do this, if I give my time, if I give my talent, if I give my treasure, I'm not going to have enough for myself. I'm not going to be able to take care of my own needs. We're operating in fear and doubt that God will not provide for us. And we start to trust in what we have rather than the God who has actually given us everything. Let me say that again. We actually start to trust in what we have rather than the God who has given us everything. You know what? Maybe you feel like this. If I spend my time serving in church or helping someone else, I won't get things done in my own life. I need to get these things done and provide for myself and my family. I wouldn't have the time to get those things done if I give the time somewhere else. Maybe you have a talent or ability that you make money from. Maybe it's part of your job. Your talent or ability is part of your job. And you just think, you know what? If I volunteer that ability for fellow people, for fellow believers, or for the church, you feel like you're giving it away for free. And you should be paid for it because it's my talent. I'm using time and talent on this. Or maybe you're worried about your future retirement and plans and you're thinking, you know what? If I let go of this, then what's going to happen to me in the future? Now, I just want to tell you this. I don't want to belittle any of these concerns because I think they're all valid concerns, aren't they? They're all ways that we live. So they're all valid concerns. But listen to what 1 Timothy 6:17 says. It says this. As for the rich of this present age, and some of you are like, well, that's not me, okay? Well, here's the thing. You are rich, okay? Because you know you're going home to a meal. You know you're going home to things. Like, we're rich in this present age. He says this. Charge them not to be haughty, but listen to this. He says, nor to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but on God who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. So now what he's saying is this. Paul is saying to Timothy, he's saying, hey, listen, tell them don't set your hope on stuff, okay? Because those things are uncertain, but put your hope in God. He's the one who actually gave you this stuff. And notice, he doesn't say, and now go live like a monk, give it all away, go live like a monk. He says, no, he gave you those things for you to enjoy. There's nothing wrong with us enjoying the possessions and the money that God has given us. It's biblical. But when we trust in the Lord and we're generous with our time and our talent and our treasure, the Lord actually takes care of us. That's what the point of this is. He's saying, listen, trust Jesus, do what you're supposed to do, be generous, and I'm going to take care of you. And this is not prosperity gospel. This is not name it, claim it type stuff. This is just truth from the scriptures. God is the one who provides. And when we trust him and say, hey, you know what? I'm going to be generous with what he's provided me with. He's going to take care of you. See, the time, talent, and the treasures that we have were given to us by God in the first place. Remember what James 1:17 says. It says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Basically, he's saying everything good that you have, all the time, all the talents, all the treasure that you have, were given to you by a God who is generous and loves you. When we're generous, there is more where that came from. You get that? When you're generous, there's more where that came from. Listen to Proverbs 11:24. It says this, one gives freely, yet grows all the richer. Another withholds what he should give and suffers want. You know what? When you hold on, there's nothing, there's no blessing coming. When you let go, there's blessings. Because you're being obedient, you're being generous with your time, your talent, and your treasure. Remember, we need to remember that we should not trust in what we have. We should trust in Jesus, just like we did for our salvation, right? There's nothing you could do to save yourself. God was generous to us by being willing to sacrifice his one and only son. Jesus was willing to go to that cross. Listen to Hebrews 12:2. It says this, looking to Jesus, the founder and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. You know what? Jesus found joy in giving his life for us. Jesus found joy in giving everything. He gave his life for us. He found joy in that. Which brings us to the next thing that we need to remember when it comes to generosity, and that is this. Generosity brings joy. See, much of the time in life, we're trying to make ourselves happy, right? We want to be content. We want to be happy. Some of us, you know, your degree of happiness is like way up here. Some of you are like, I just want to live a simple life. You know, I just want my needs to be met. I just want a house. I want to be able to provide. I want a car that runs. It doesn't break down. You know what I mean? Like maybe you have a simple bar. Some of you, your bar is way up here and you really got to check yourself. Okay. But here's the thing. Much of the time, what we're trying to do is we're trying to make ourselves content and happy and be filled with joy. So we use our time for ourselves, we use our talents for our own glory, and we use our treasure to spend on ourselves. And like I said, God wants us to enjoy those things, but when we cross over the line and we're greedy with those things, that's where all of a sudden we don't experience joy anymore. We're searching for contentment and joy, and the world has sold us a lie and told us that we find it in the use of our time, the use of our talent, the use of our treasure on ourselves. I love what Winston Churchill said. He said this, we make a living by what we get, but we make a life by what we give. Think about that for a second. We make a living by what we get, but we make a life by what we give. How generous we are. You know what? For some of you, the thought of being generous actually makes you very uncomfortable. Or even worse, it makes you critical and angry. Maybe even right now, because I'm talking about generosity, you're thinking to yourself, okay, what does the church need? Okay, what am I supposed to give? What's Mike going to spring on us this year? Okay, your mind's critical. You're filled with bad vibes, right? Well, here's the thing. In the scriptures, we see generosity is actually a heart and mind issue. I want you to turn to 2 Corinthians 9. 2 Corinthians 9. We're going to pick up in verse 6, actually. And I'm going to read through verse, 10. It says this. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, picking up in verse 6, says, the point is this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart. Not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. I'm going to stop right there. So basically what this passage is saying is God is pouring out these gifts, this time, this talent, this treasure on you. And it's for you and for me to abound in every good work. You get that? So God has been generous to us with the things that we have. But now he's saying, here's why. Because I want you to do good with it. I want you to be generous with it. I want you to be generous with it. Let's go on in verse 9. It says this, as it is written, he has distributed freely. He has given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. He who supplies the seed to the sower and the bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. He's saying, you know what? He's going to give. And when you use it for him, he's going to give more and you're going to use it for him. And it's going to increase your righteousness, meaning it's going to make you the person that gives out those good vibes to help other people to see the sun. Because guess what? You're going to be like, I like this. I find a great amount of joy in using what God has given me for him, for his name's sake. So basically what Paul is saying here is he's saying, you know what? Check your heart. If it's not in the right place, you have to start to ask yourself now, why? You know what? When our heart's in the right place, we start to evaluate how we can be generous with our time, with our talent, with our treasure. God doesn't want to force us to be generous. Notice he says God loves a cheerful giver. Imagine someone came up to you on your birthday or on Christmas and gave you a gift and said this to you. Here, I'm only giving this to you because you expect it. How would you feel? Right? Imagine if that's the way that we treated God. God, I'm only doing this because you expect it. Paul tells us, he says, no one should give grudgingly. No one should give grudgingly. Some of you probably noticed this. We don't pass a plate here in our church. Part of the reason why is we felt 7 years ago, we felt, you know what? People have a lot of criticisms of church in general, not just our church, but church in general. And they feel that churches only want their money. So we said, you know what? Here's a way we're going to communicate to the community that we don't only want your money, okay? And we're going to put a box on the wall. And those who have the heart to give will give. We never want anybody to feel pressured to give. So for those of you that have a heart to give, you find the box. It's kind of like a spiritual scavenger hunt, right? Okay? Where is this thing? Okay? If your heart's right, you're going to do that. And I'll just tell you this. I'm super impressed by this church because people are so generous here. Since we made that decision 7 years ago, we've never been under budget. Never once, not 1 year have we ever ended under budget. We've always been over. We built an addition, paid in full. We redid the parking lot, paid in full. We've renovated so many things in this church to make it a nicer, more welcoming place. And guess what? We've had more and more and more. Why? Because you are generous and following after the Lord. And guess what? God says, okay, we're going to keep going. Why? Because we're on mission, because we want to be lights to this community. Which brings us to this. Generosity is actually an act of worship. I don't know if you realize this. Generosity is actually an act of worship. God does not want to pressure us into giving. He wants us to give as an expression of what we've received from him. Not just the things, not just the time, not just the talent, but the fact that, you know what? We wouldn't be walking in the shoes today that we're in. We wouldn't be living the life that we're in. We wouldn't be saved by the grace of God if it wasn't for all his generosity towards us. So when we look in 2 Corinthians 9, 11 through 12, here's what it says. It says this, you will be enriched in every way to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. For the ministry of this service is not only supplying the needs of the saints, but it's also overflowing in many thanksgivings to God. You see what he's saying there? It's not only helping the other people in the church. It's not only reaching out to other people. But here's what it's doing. It's showing God that you're thankful. Don't for a minute think that God needs your money, okay? He doesn't need your money. He doesn't need your stuff. He doesn't need your time. He doesn't need anything from you. But when you do this, it's an act of worship. You're saying, thank you, Lord. Thank you for what you've given me. I don't want to hold on to this stuff. I just want to let it go for you. I'm not going to be white-knuckled with this stuff. I'm not going to hold it on just to keep it for myself. See, when we're generous, we're acknowledging that God has been generous with us. And that's an act of worship, of giving back. When we're generous with our time, our talent, our treasure, and those things, we actually serve the Lord. It's an act of worship. When we worship God, we're reminded that it's not about us. It's not about us. Then we have to think, well, who in the world is it about? Okay? Well, I hope you know the answer to that. Okay? There's usually two answers in church, Jesus and prayer. Which do you think it is? Okay? It's Jesus. It's about Jesus. It's about us being a light for Jesus, or in other words, sending out good vibes to shine the light so people see who Jesus is. Which brings us to our final point, and that's generosity can bring others to Jesus. You know what? When we're generous with our time, our talent, our treasure, we help other people. We help them see Jesus. It communicates to them, you know what? You're valued. You're important. I care about you. You know what? There's, to me, especially when it comes to like the youth and children of our community, so many times I'll run into people in our community that don't come to our church, but maybe send their kids to like a children's program or something. And they'll always say like, oh, we love your church. They do so much for our kids. Like, yeah, we intend to. Why? Because we want to be generous to the community. We want people to feel welcome. We want people to, most importantly, hear that Jesus loves them. Hear that Jesus died for them. You know what? Every time you give your time, talent, and treasure to the mission of this church, that's what you're doing. That's what you're doing. You're giving to that mission. It shows people that Jesus loves them. Listen to 1 John 3:16 through 18. It says this. By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. But if anyone has the world's good and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. You know what? We have an amazing opportunity in our community, right? To tell people about the love of Jesus. The fact that Jesus loves sinners. He loves us. And he was willing to die on the cross for our sins. 3 days later, he rose again to prove that he was God. And the scriptures tell us this, all who believe will have eternal life. God opens that message up to everyone. Okay, there's people outside these walls that haven't heard that yet. And our intention is to make sure that we show them that. We show them that, right, with our generosity. Using our time, talent, and treasure to bring that message to the community. Generous people show others the sun by giving out those good vibes. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we're just so thankful for this day. I'm thankful for this church and the generosity that it has always had, Lord, and we're so thankful for that. But we pray, Lord, and we realize that it's not about us and what our church is doing, but it's about being generous to the mission that you've called us to do. And that is to go and make disciples. So we pray, Lord, that not only the church as a vehicle to do that, but even in our own personal lives, that we're generous to the people around us, that we use our time, talent, and treasure to point people to you. I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
You may rise.